ways to sustainably nourish ourselves, the animals, and Mother Earth herself. And I'm looking for answers. And so I'd love to see some posted on my Facebook page or my website.
Nice, nice. Well, Teresa Wolf, thank you so much here at RaisingConsciousKids.com. We so appreciate you and your work in the world. Again, our website is RaisingConsciousKids.com. We have a free global community with a treasure trove of interviews and information and inspiration. And it's all free. It's a labor of love. And go ahead and give your website one more time, Teresa, and then we are at the top of the hour.
Okay, thank you so much for letting me do this.
You're welcome.
Website again is Global Healing Projects, one word, ends in an S, .com.
Okay, thank you so much, Teresa, and blessings to everybody. Have a great week, and we'll see you here next week on Raising Conscious Kids Radio. Bye for now.
Bye. Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Honorton County.
Honorton Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Honorton on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Honorton Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Honorton Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton both closer to winning their party's presidential nomination after resounding victories in the delegate-rich New York primary, and Donald Trump sounding a bit more presidential.
Donald Trump spoke to his supporters after his expected huge win in New York and said he would make America win again internationally by having America's best negotiate trade deals.
We are going to use our great business people to negotiate unbelievable trade deals so we bring our jobs back and we don't let our companies go to Mexico.
Trump also said he would work to eliminate Common Core and return education back to local school boards.
USA Radio's Jason Wirt reporting. The president in Saudi Arabia today meeting with leaders from half a dozen Arabian Peninsula states. It comes at a time of rising tensions between Washington and the Saudi kingdom, the White House moving to ease some of that tension. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-7591. That's 1-800-469-7591.
Call today.
Michigan's Attorney General expected to announce criminal charges stemming from the Flint water crisis. The Detroit Free Press saying that at least two and possibly four people will be slapped with felony and misdemeanor offenses. One of those to be charged is a Flint City official who allegedly signed false reports about the water testing. The decision of the judges will be final when it comes to the naming of a British research vessel. Here's USA's Chris Barnes.
The British government now suggesting that the name that most people voted for, which was Bodhi McBoatface, may not be used. Yeah, it did win the online naming poll, but Science Minister Joe Johnson told BBC reporters that there's a process they're going through to review all of the public's choices, and they want to choose a name that actually fits the importance of the subjects the boat will be researching. He said the boat's focus on polar research would assist in the study of serious issues in including climate change.
Chris Barnes reporting for USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Republican Speaker of the House Paul Ryan continues fending off questions about accepting the GOP nomination for president. He appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and faced more grilling this time from the host.
Yes or no, would you accept the nomination? No, Stephen, I have said I do not want nor would I accept the Republican nomination. Got it. So you're considering the nomination? No, I'm not.
Paul Ryan holding a press conference last week to insist he won't be accepting the nomination if it comes to an open convention and that it should go to somebody who ran for it. Atlantic City is suing New Jersey for more than $33 million. Sarah Lee Kessler explains
Atlantic
why.
Atlantic City is nearly bankrupt, so it doesn't have anything to lose. Its lawsuit claims the state promised $33 million in financial aid but never paid up, making it impossible for the city to pay its debt to the school system. The funds were supposed to come from an Atlantic City rescue package that's been vetoed twice by Governor Christie. The city's eight remaining casinos would have kicked in the cash instead of making payments on property taxes. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
Lawmakers in Tennessee continue trying to make the Bible the official state book. The House will vote today to try and override the governor's veto. The Republican said he vetoed the measure last week because he believes it would violate the state and the U.S. constitutions. And existing home sales are up sharply, boosted by strong demand in the Northeast and the Midwest. This is USA Radio News. I'm John DeMaster.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
The weather for Hunterdon County. Currently, it is 63 degrees. The humidity is at 22 and visibility is at 10 miles. It is sunny today and the high will be around 71. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 39. And then Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 71. Thursday night, a chance of showers mainly after 3, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 54. And then Friday, showers are likely mainly after 9 a.m. with a high near 73. Friday night, again, showers are likely before 9 p.m. Saturday, a chance of showers in the morning and then clearing up with sun in the afternoon with a high near 67. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 65. So it looks like we've got a lovely spring weekend in front of us. It is currently 12:09.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor with a private practice here in Flemington, New Jersey. And I have been a counselor now for over 30 years, so a little bit of experience is what I like to say to people. My topic today is grief. Now, it's a beautiful spring day. Things are in bloom. The trees are beginning to get their leaves, and things look like they're regenerating, and it's just gorgeous. Well, why would I be speaking on grief, of all things, on this beautiful spring day when things are coming to life? There's two reasons. Reason number one is actually April is Spouse Grief Recovery Month. And also, just because we have spring doesn't mean that we are not grieving some things. And I do want to talk about grief, the fact that we don't grieve very well in our society. As a matter of fact, it's one of the things that we probably do the poorest in terms of handling or coping with feelings. And grief is a normal and natural feeling of loss or caused by loss of any kind. We have a strong tendency to think of grief when someone dies. We tend to think of grief also when maybe also when we have a divorce. One of my favorite go-to books, I will say, it sits next to my desk in my office, and I go to it quite often, is called The Grief Recovery Handbook. The authors are John W. James and Russell Friedman, and I refer to this book quite a bit because they have some really great definitions and suggestions about grief. And their definition of grief is about conflicting feelings caused by the end of or change in a familiar pattern of behavior. And so conflicting feelings, that sounds like an odd thing. So it is really about experiencing deep sadness and sometimes experiencing relief, such as someone who's had a long illness. There's a sense of relief at their passing. And yet, we're going to feel really sad that we're not going to see that person anymore. But grief is not just about someone dying. It's about the loss of anything. The ending of anything. Or a change in anything. Anything. So, I lose my job. I get a new job. I have a grieving process. It's a change. Change of something familiar. I might miss my old routine. I might miss the old drive. I might miss some of my coworkers. I might feel a sense of relief over the fact that I might be making more money or have new challenges that I'm looking forward to. Doing a job that I maybe was trained for but wasn't doing previously. So it's a combination of feelings. Or maybe I've decided to move. So I might miss the house and the familiar things of the neighborhood that I was living in, the grocery store, the post office, the some of the people that I've known, that I knew in the neighborhood, my postman, woman. I might miss those things. And at the same time, be really excited about the new and have some apprehension about the new. These are all grief-based feelings. And we can have that sense over things that we might not even consider, such as graduating. Well, here we are. We're at the point of time, May's coming up. Colleges are going to begin their graduation ceremonies, high schools, eighth grade in June. So we're going into that process of people graduating, getting married. Oh my, spring weddings, big, big business, spring weddings, especially here in New Jersey. And so there is actually a grieving really, I'm going to grieve over getting married? Well, yeah, we might do that. Again, it's a change. I'm excited for the new. I'm excited about creating a new family and in this relationship where we're making a commitment. And yet, at the same time, I may miss my alone time. I may miss my single life experience. And so there is grieving. I may have some anxiety over what's going to happen. Who am I going to be as a married person? Same thing with graduating school. I'm going to leave all my friends. And I have some anxiety over meeting new people at the next stage, be it going to work or going to college or going to high school. I'm going to go from being the top man on the totem pole, eighth grade, to a freshman, back to the bottom of the barrel. There's a grieving process in that. We grieve things like the loss of a pet. So often what happens is we go, oh, it was just a dog. It was just a cat. Get another one. Well, I could get another one, but Spot does not really replace Fluffy. It just isn't the same. And so there is a sense of loss. In our society, when we go through these transitions, because I think grief is a lot about transition, we don't really give ourselves the time and opportunity to feel the feelings that go along with it. We say, you've had a death in your family, you get 3 days. My mom died. My dad died. My spouse died. You get 3 days. You can take more, but there's no guarantee that you're going to get paid for it. You get 3 days of bereavement pay. That's it. Well, if I really need the money, I'm going to put myself together and go back to work. I'm not going to really give myself that opportunity to fully grieve. Now, there are some religions, I'm going to say Judaism, they have Shiva. And Shiva is something where they are given a full week to grieve. And this form of grieving, it's not that I just get a point of time to be alone. Or actually, you're not alone. You have people coming, bringing food, taking care of you. They cover the mirrors, so you don't have to look at yourself. You don't have to take a shower. You don't have to comb your hair. You don't have to do anything. And you get taken care of. Meals are prepared for you. Everything's taken care of. You get a week to just grieve. There are some other cultures, South Pacific cultures. I don't think they do this anymore. But if you had a death of a spouse or a parent, you had a whole year. You had a whole year to just grieve. Can you imagine taking a year off on some South Pacific island to lay in your hammock and have everything taken care of you while you grieve? Are you kidding? In this society, couldn't even fathom that. What a concept. And so somehow we take the grieving process and we shove it into 3 days and we say, get over it and move on. That's what we do. All right, so you lost somebody. Okay, get over it. Productivity is more important. One of the things that we know, which is really unfortunate, that we know but we don't do anything about, is that emotions tend to be cumulative. Well, what does that mean exactly? You're telling me that I accumulate my emotions? Well, we do. It's like I use a balloon. I have some balloons next to my on my table next to my desk, and I use it to describe emotions. I'll use anger as an example. Every time I'm angry, I hold it in. So I blow into the balloon. And I'm angry again, blow into the balloon. Something else, blow into the balloon. After a while, that balloon expands and expands and expands to the point of bursting. It bursts. It makes a loud pop. So this is part of what happens when we accumulate feelings. It expands and expands until we can't control it anymore and we explode. And anger is oftentimes a really good example of that, because a lot of times people just, they're annoyed, and all of a sudden, bam, they explode. The same thing happens to grief. We lose something, we lose someone, we lose a job, we lose a friend, we lose a spouse, a parent, and we don't give ourselves the opportunity to grieve. Hey, your marriage is over? Great. You know how you handle it? Go out and date. There's no process. So now I'm carrying, what do we call that? Baggage. I'm carrying my baggage of all the grief and loss. And one little thing happens. I don't know. I lose my keys. And I get hysterical. The balloon just burst. It's the little thing. Because I've not been dealing with my grief. I have been storing it up so that I can explode when I lose my keys. So I'm going to take a little commercial break, and I will be back in a few moments to continue to talk about grief and also to talk about some ways of coping with grief and healing from grief. I'm Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat, and I will be back in just a few minutes.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
Good morning, Huntington. This is Big C coming to you from HuntingtonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Huntington kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Huntington County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Huntington, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor with a private practice here in Flemington. And I'm talking to you about grief. Now, a lot of us are familiar with the Elizabeth Kubler-Ross work on death and dying, where she talks about stages of grief. And I've always had some issues with that, though I do agree with some of the things that she says. I don't like the idea of stages. And the reason why I don't like the idea of stages is because it indicates that once I'm done with one thing, I move on to the next. And so her stages of grief start with denial. No, this can't be happening. This isn't, no. And then we have anger. I can't believe this. Bargaining. Well, maybe if I could do this or do that, it would have a different outcome. And I see it's not happening, and so now I'm really depressed. And then I reach acceptance and move on. So, though that sounds all nice and neat and tidy, I think originally her work was really based on someone who has gotten the diagnosis of terminal illness. And though we may, at any kind of loss, have some of these things happen to us, I don't believe that they're in stages. As a matter of fact, there was something on Facebook that described sort of these stages. It was sort of in this nice line, nice clean line, you know, stages of grief. And then experienced grief was a big scribble all over the page, and I think that that's probably more correct. I talk about it in terms of waves, so that I may have waves of anger, waves of sadness. I have waves of acceptance, and then I go back to anger. And then I say, I can't believe this happened. And so I'm kind of all over the map with these feelings. So that's why I don't think that stages, not that I don't have these feelings, is the correct word to use, which is another reason why I tend to lean on the Grief Recovery Handbook, again, by John W. James and Russell Friedman. You can get this on Amazon. So, and they talk about, you know, recovering. Well, what does that mean? Well, they say recovering means feeling better, finding a new meaning for life, enjoying fond memories. It's acknowledging that it is perfectly okay to feel sad from time to time and talk about the feelings that you have. And that some days you're okay with it and some days you're really sad. And it's important to recognize that grief is a normal, healthy life process. I think we grieve every day. And why do I say that? I say that because every day is filled with changes. The ending of something, the beginning of something. Might be ending a project at work, beginning a new friendship, getting a new puppy. Getting a new puppy, grieving? Yeah, now I got to get up and walk. I got to walk this dog every day, 2-3 times a day. I've lost some freedom here. And yet, I really love this puppy and it's so much fun. It's a grieving process, believe it or not. So, grieving can happen with all types of things. And it happens, the depth of our grief really depends on how significant the relationship. So, I said keys. I lost my keys. Why would I grieve over that? Well, it's not a big grief. It's a good grief. It's a pain. It's a pain in the neck. Now I got to look for my keys. I got to search. It's frustrating. I'm not sure where the conflict of feelings are on that one other than, well, I guess I'm not going to go to that thing I didn't want to go to. Minor grief. Broken nail. Minor grief. Major grief. Loss of a spouse. Loss of a parent. Loss of a child. Loss of a job. Loss of freedom. Loss of health. Gee, my gosh, I just got this particular diagnosis. My health is compromised. Change in life. It's a change. Significant change. Depending upon the type of illness. Legal problems or a holiday. Retirement. Now, who would think that? But you know, I miss the people I work with. I miss the daily routine. I loved what I did. As a matter of fact, I just heard on the news today, statistics show that the earlier you retire, the shorter your lifespan. Why is that? Because now we sit home and we stop being active. Some people become more active. But a lot of people say, oh, now I'm retired, now I can sit and relax. The routine is gone. The people that I knew, oh yeah, we're going to get together for lunch. Well, that may not happen. And the more intense the grief, the more deeply we feel it, the stronger the connection, the more deeply we feel it. And we have to remember that grief is about feelings. We can't think our way out of grief. We have to feel our way out of grief. But we do try and think our way out of grief. We sure do. We have all kinds of belief systems about how to handle grief. And oftentimes we even confuse grief with depression. Clients come in, I'm so depressed. Oh, how come? Tell me what's going on. My dog died. I say, I don't think you're depressed. I think you're grieving. Oh, I'm so depressed. My childhood was terrible. I had to take care of my parents. My dad was an alcoholic. I never got a chance to be a kid. Actually, you know what? You're not depressed. You're grieving the loss of your childhood. Now, the new DSM-5 suggests that if you're still grieving after 3 or 4 weeks, it shifts into depression. Personally, I don't go by that, and I'm going to stick with my own belief system because I can. I don't think that grief necessarily turns into depression after 3 weeks. Now, if I'm still grieving to the point where I'm immobilized after 3 years, then yes, maybe. But 3 weeks, no. Again, it depends on the nature of the relationship. If my spouse dies and after 3 weeks I'm still grieving and I'm not getting on with my life, that's not depression. That's grief. It may take 1 to 3 to 5 years even to continue, and I will always have some sense of sadness. And it's about accepting that. I'm going to always have some sense of sadness when I think about this particular person that I've lost. I may have fond memories, but I may also have some sadness. So why would I say that they might consider that grief is depression? Well, let's look at grief and let's look at depression. So with grief, we have a sense of numbing. Well, with depression, we kind of feel numb too. With this sense of numbing, sometimes it can last a little length of time. Sometimes it could be disabling. Sleep disturbances. When we're grieving, we don't sleep as well. Or we sleep too much. Well, this is really beginning to sound like depression. Or change in our eating habits. Well, now this really sounds like depression. I'm not hungry. I just lost somebody really important to me and I don't really want to eat. And I may say, and I'm feeling depressed. Well, actually, I'm grieving. Or eating nonstop. Some of us do that. Then there's that roller coaster of energy. Up and down. Some days I feel good and some days I'm just emotionally and physically drained to the point where I want to take to my bed, as some might do if they're grieving. Well, that sure looks like depression. Loss of concentration. Wow, really? Yes, that comes along with grieving. I can't remember why I came into the kitchen. I don't remember what I was going to get. Well, that's okay. I'll probably remember it at some other point. And I can't remember where I put my wallet or where I parked my car at the grocery store. I can't remember. You're not getting Alzheimer's. You're grieving. It's a reaction, a normal, natural reaction to loss. And telling somebody to get over it never works. Just get over it. Get on with your life. Get over it. We really have to go through grief. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. The reality is, people who are grieving want to talk about their loss. They want to talk about the good things and the bad things that they experienced in the relationship. They want to talk about their memories. They want to cry and they want to laugh. They really want to have people there. The concept of grieving alone in reality doesn't work. Grieving alone is not necessarily the healthiest thing to do. Though we might want to say, well, I really just want to spend some time crying. But we really need to have someone to talk to about how we feel. And again, about our memories. The concept of don't feel bad. At least they're in a better place. Telling you not to feel. Don't feel bad. At least you're in a safer place. At least your job is paying you more. Don't feel bad. You're married now. Don't feel bad. You're going to college. And it does indicate that we're replacing the loss. You can always get another dog. There's a lot more fish in the sea. That doesn't mean that our heart is not breaking and that you're not sad. Just give it time. Well, time doesn't do anything. Time doesn't do anything. It's just time. So I've worked with people who have had losses in their lives. Gee, you know, My spouse died 17 years ago, and I just am not over it. That's right. Because time hasn't healed anything. Healing heals. Talking about it. It's what you do with the time that matters. And of course, there's the be strong for others, because, you know, if I start showing you my emotions about how I feel over the loss, you may not be able to handle it. So I'm taking care of your feelings. And this is one of my favorites, because I've got a majority of clients who deal with grief. They do this one. Keep busy. If I keep myself busy, this way I don't have to think about it. Boy, do I have a clean house. My calendar's full. Run, 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 run. Never have time to stop and think. Never have time to feel. So, all of these things don't help. And we say them. We say them. We think we're comforting. You know, the living must go on, and she led a full life. These are things that we say thinking that they're helping. And one of the things that they're doing is they're demonstrating our lack of empathy. Empathy is a huge aspect towards helping someone grieve, or to grieve with someone. That must really hurt. You must be in a lot of pain. Wow. You just lost your dad, or your mom, or your job. How are you dealing with that transition? That must be hard. If you want to talk about how you feel, I'm here to listen, not fix. Listen. I'm just going to listen. And I'm just going to show empathy. Empathy is when we say to someone, I can understand how that must feel for you. I know what pain feels like. I know what loss feels like. We've all had some loss, some pain. We've all had anger. We all have some type of regret or guilt. It's the human condition to feel. And so empathy is saying, wow, this must be how it feels for you. And that's really sad that you have this burden right now in your life, that your heart is broken. What a tough thing to go through. That helps grievers grieve. So I'm going to take another little commercial break. And I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat. And I will be back in a few moments.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira-Roll, your host for today's program, and I'm talking about the process of grieving. I have one of the things that I do in my own practice is I refer to the Grief Recovery Handbook, which was written by John W. James and Russell Friedman. And there's many things in this book that I really like and share with my clients. I suggest that they get it. It is a workbook. And it does talk about some of the belief systems that we have, that grief does not come in stages. Sometimes we confuse grief and depression. It talks about some of the misconceptions that we have about grief. And gives a really good definition, I think, of what grief is. It's conflicting feelings caused by the change or ending of anything that's familiar to us. So a sense of relief and sadness at the same time. So one of the things that it cautions is recognizing something called, what they call, short-term energy relievers. And a short-term energy reliever is when I do something or use something to not feel, like food or alcohol or reading. I've got clients who have a loss in their life and they go, well, I'm finding all these really good books to read. Sometimes it can be exercise or shopping. You know, that retail therapy that we talk about. Gambling, these things that could lead to addiction. So the thing to remember is when we do these types of things, we're actually not dealing with the grief. We're covering up, we're hiding it, we're stuffing it into the balloon. So at some point it will explode. So dealing with these feelings of grief really means I'm going to give myself the opportunity to feel. I'm going to slow down a little bit. I might need to say no to some things that I would have otherwise done. I may do some journaling, crying. I'm going to have memories. I'm going to write them down. I caution people not to create a shrine, meaning going to have pictures up and all this person was wonderful, fabulous. Well, you know, this person was a human being with shortcomings. So it's taking a full, complete picture. I mean, I may need to write some letters to the person that's passed on or to my former boss. I need to give myself time to adjust to my new normal. Keeping in mind that there are times that it's not going to be a long process because it was not a significant loss. Other times, it was a significant loss. Now, my favorite cat. When my favorite cat died, Oh my gosh, Brothers. People who know me know of Brothers. He was my soul cat. And my heart was broken. And I'm still sad. And I still miss him. And we are talking 9 years now, maybe? 8 years? I will always miss Brothers. He was a unique cat. And I spent time crying about him, writing down all the things that I remembered about him, looking at pictures of him. He got buried in the yard. He's got a little headstone. It says my big mush on the headstone. Going there and talking to him, just crying when I was there looking at his little headstone. And I still miss him. I still feel sad about it. Not like I did at first. And I didn't rush out and buy more cats. Or, in my case, I adopt cats. It was a good 6 months. Originally, I thought, I'm going to give myself a year. But at the six-month period, I thought, you know what, I'm kind of ready for some new cats. And I did. I went and I got some two new kitty cats. So I've got Lady Catherine de Bourgh and Mrs. Fuzzywig. And you know what? They are nothing like Brothers. They love each other. I say to my husband all the time, I need a cat for me because they have each other. They tolerate me, you know, but it's not like the relationship I had with Brothers. He followed me around like a dog. He was on my lap. He slept behind the crook of my legs. He was always underfoot. Wherever I was, there he was. These two, you got to search them out and then you get a kind of look like you're bothering me when you go to pet them. So that in itself is a loss. It's a new adjustment. When my dad passed away, it was probably a good year. You know, we go and we see the people, how they have photographs and videos and, you know, big picture boards and all of these things happen to celebrate this person's life. Well, my dad died, we did the same thing, and I had a big picture board that I kept up in the dining room for probably almost a year. And I'd go and I'd talk to it or cry sometimes. A couple of times had some really good cries. And it's been over 5 years now, and I still miss my dad. Always will. But I don't have that same depth of grief. My mom does not have that same depth of grief. Talking about it, crying about it, writing about it, getting support from other people. People who are empathetic, not sympathetic, empathetic. It may even be that it brings up other losses. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, remember I talked about the balloon? You know, I keep stuffing things into that balloon. It's expanding and expanding. Well, sometimes when we go through any kind of emotion, and grieving is one of them, and it's like saying, oh, I'm so angry about this. And you know when I'm angry about that, I'm angry about the other thing. All of a sudden, they're attaching. Those feelings of anger are attaching to other feelings of anger, and they're all coming out. Well, that can happen with grief and loss. So that I'm grieving the loss of my dad, and I'm grieving that we didn't get the chance to do this, and I'm grieving that we didn't get a chance to do that, and I'm grieving the time that he did this, and I'm grieving. There it is, all the connections. So it might be useful to actually draw a timeline. These are the areas in my life where I had losses with my dad, not just his death, but other places where I've had losses with my dad, loss of expectations, time together, whatever it is. And I would make those lines go down. And then I'm going to make the lines go up. Things that I did have, a positive talk, a friendly project together, going out to lunch, going to the movies, whatever it is, all the positive things. Beginning to develop a full picture. Of what my relationship was like with my dad. I may need to even work on areas of forgiveness. Areas where I've held resentments. Believe it or not, sometimes, and I'm sure you all recognize that, you may have some resentments. I might resent my former boss. Well, part of forgiving and part of healing from grief is forgiving. I might want to write that person a letter, not send it. I might want to tell them how I'm feeling. I might want to talk to someone about it. It's where therapy can come into play. I love letter writing. It's a lost art, but I use it quite a bit in my counseling process. Sometimes I suggest to people that we can have a goodbye letter or even a goodbye ceremony. I have clients that come in and my dad died years ago, my mom died years ago, and I haven't resolved it. And so we talk about the relationship, the good aspects, the sad aspects, what you miss about this person. What kind of mementos do you have? Let's write some letters. Let's do some journaling. Let's hold a little ceremony. You might even go to the gravesite. Read your letter. Bury it there. I find when people do that, that they often feel a sense of peace, a sense of freedom, the ability to feel more fulfilled in their life. So often when we have a major loss, we have regrets attached to it. If Dad and I only had done that, if Mom and I had only done that, if I had only done this one other thing, maybe my pet would still be alive. If I had done this at my job, or that at my job, or this in my marriage, or that in my marriage, I wouldn't have gotten a divorce. And so part of that process, the grieving process, is working at letting these things go. Making an apology, possibly, to the person who's gone. I don't necessarily have to go in face to face. Obviously, if someone died, I can't do that. But I could do it in a letter. And I could share that letter with a friend or a therapist. And I can let it go. Sometimes it's suggested to tie these things on the end of a helium balloon. I don't really like that so much. I like the significance of the balloon. My problem with the helium balloon is it goes somewhere and it lands somewhere. And I don't know. I just don't like the idea of those balloons floating around in our atmosphere. However, I like the idea of burning something. So it goes up in smoke. It disappears. The smoke goes upward and dissipates in the atmosphere. Burning a piece of paper is not going to do much damage to the atmosphere, and it's going to relieve you of some of the grief that you are carrying. So you can get this book on Amazon. You can Google the Grief Recovery Handbook. Again, it is a handbook. It is a workbook. It does suggest that you do this with someone else or with your therapist. And it's written by John W. James and Russell Friedman. One of my favorites. And if you are dealing and struggling with grief, and you need some extra support, please, by all means, contact a therapist. And I am a therapist. Licensed professional counselor of my master's in counseling. I am a nationally certified counselor. I have an office here in Flemington. You can find out other things that I do. I deal a lot with addiction, which, boy, does that have a lot of grief and loss attached to it. So addictions, alcoholism, adult children of alcoholics or families of dysfunction, codependency, families who are struggling with active addicts. I have done interventions. I deal with grief and loss, stress management, anger management, obsessive compulsive disorders, eating disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, just to name a few things that I work with. I see individuals and I see couples. So if you are interested to find out more about